because what he did was, among other things, not just serving, but testing the food. So that in case that if the king was going to be poisoned, the cupbearer would die instead. So you had to trust your cupbearer. And the king saw him, and it says that many months went by, and the king looked at Nehemiah, and he says, "Why the long face?" It's a paraphrase. But he says, "Why is your face downcast? Why are you sad?" And I love what the Bible tells us. It says that Nehemiah prayed before answering. And he prayed. He said, "God, give me the words." And he did. And he says, "You know that I'm from Jerusalem, right?" And the king's like, "Yeah." He said, "Well, and you know that there was a guy named Ezra, and he went back, and there's been exiles who have come back, but their city has no protection, no wall. And I'd like to go back." And so the king allowed him to go back. He gave him the resources that he needed, the men that would be needed, letters of authenticity and recommendation and introduction, so he would have safe passage. And so he goes to Jerusalem, he surveys what's going on, and he sees that it's in rubble. And he starts organizing the men of the city, and he starts to rebuild the city. There's a passage in there that I think is interesting, is that it says that everyone went out to the wall that was in front of their house and started to rebuild it. And I love that image because I believe that's a capsulized way that God does things. We all sit around, and I know myself, I see the news, I read the stories of things that go on in this community and in the United States and around the world, and you think, what could I do? Well, Nehemiah knew that these people would be that way, and so what he did was he had them go out. So you imagine that you walk out your door. He said, "What do you see?" Pile of rubble. What should be there? A wall. He said, "Guess what? Good news. There's going to be a wall there." Yay. Right? Bad news. You're building it. "Well, I can't build a wall. I mean, around a city?" You're right. But right in front of your house, what you can see, you can build. And that's what they started doing. But there's a thing that we should know about progress. It always will be met with opposition. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says this. When Sanballat, he was one of those corrupt pseudo-leaders of the area, more of a bandit. When he heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, and I love this, right? Because if he would have had a cell phone back in the day, he would have tweeted this, right? It would have been viral. This is what he says. "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Now, his words must have been moving because one of his companions, Tobiah, the Ammonite, now what he says, it was a burn. It was a taunt. They definitely would have tweeted this. "What they are building, even a fox climbing upon it would break down their walls of stone. Ha ha." That doesn't sound very much of a taunt, does it? About 3,000 years ago, that was pretty hot. That would have been a burner. He's saying, and maybe if we translate it into today's terms and times, whatever you are doing, whatever you're doing, you get up on Sunday morning when you could be staying at home and reading the paper and watching all the pregame. You're spending your Sunday mornings going to church? What is this I hear about you? You went like to a foreign country and you actually spent your money and traveled there and like helped people instead of going to a family vacation? Did I hear that you sold something in your home, a car or some furniture, and you gave it to charity? People today would look at you, might say, what you are building your life upon, it's not going to stand up. A fox, something very small, very crafty, very nimble, something really insignificant could come along and take you out. And fortunately, for many who build a wall based on lies or in their own effort, that's exactly what happens. Maybe you've seen people that's happened in their life. Oh, they were there every Sunday, front row, not at this church. I'm going to start putting $50 bills under there. We'll see if anybody comes up. They were there on the front row. They were there on all the volunteer opportunities. They were in the choir. They were in the band. They were a deacon. They were the Sunday school teacher. They were faithful. You just knew, right? They built a wall. It seemed solid. But along came a loss of a job or a loss of a loved one or a broken relationship. And it came crumbling down. And now that person who was the rock in the church throws rocks at it. Maybe you were one of those people at one time. Maybe you still are today. You're here because you're obligated. You're here out of habit. If you had your choice, you wouldn't be. Because something's come along and knocked that wall down. Here's the thing. Ephesians 6 tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of darkness. See, we don't face foxes crawling across our wall. We face demons and evil. And Paul writes that he has fiery darts and arrows that he is slinging at you. And he comes at you like a raging bull to take out your wall. And if it is built on any foundation other than the Word of God and the truth of the salvation of Jesus Christ, that wall will tumble. If you built your wall on the God of the universe that's a God ATM, I put my tithe in, I get tenfold back. If I say the right prayer, I get this blessing. If I do the right thing, volunteer X amount of hours, I will get protection. If your God is that God and Christ is that Christ, you have a very shaky wall. As a matter of fact, you have an illusion. When progress comes, there will be opposition. What will these feeble Jews do? Can they get it done overnight? No. Were they trying to? No. All they were trying to do was walk out their door, see the rubble that used to be a wall, use that, and rebuild the wall. And there's a lesson in that, I believe. One of the things that I think that in our life that we don't really value enough is the rubble in our life. The pain in our life. The hardship. When things went wrong, the mess in our life. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Magic School Bus. A few of you. If you have kids, maybe you do, grandkids. If you haven't, let me encourage you to look it up sometime. Talk about great philosophy in life. Miss Rizzle, the teacher, She loves to have this little thing that she says, that we're going to go and ask questions and make mistakes and get messy. Just the opposite of what most adults say, right? We're always sit down, be quiet, stay clean. She's like, you're not going to learn anything that way. Well, I think that we need to have a little bit of mess in our life sometimes. Now, I'm not saying we go create it. We kind of do that on our own, right? There are people, and we all know it. Just look at your Facebook friends. They live in drama. They're the prince and princesses of drama town. And if there's not a drama, they make one. It's kind of the days of our lives approach. If you're a soap opera fan, I'm sorry. No, really, I am. I mean, because it's just a drama. One after another. But when those things happen in our lives that do cause a little mess, that cause a little rubble, instead of getting mad, maybe we should ask God, what do you want me to build with this? Because that's what the Jews did. They took their pain, they took their embarrassment, because the reason that there was rubble and that there were no walls is that they had been conquered. Have you ever felt conquered in your life? You know, God could have snapped his fingers and there would have been a wall, wouldn't he? I mean, after all, we read in Genesis chapter 1, and if you've been doing your Discovery God series, you've been reading about him in Genesis, and he said in Genesis chapter 1, let there be. He spoke it, and there was the entire universe, galaxies and stars and space. So he's capable. But he has this unique passion to work with human beings to build stuff, though. Look at Noah. Now, God could have just gave him an ark, right? I'm sure there were days when Noah asked him that. Like, why am I doing this again? Why can't you just give me one? Maybe you've experienced that with your kids. When they want the newest, you know, PlayStation or Xbox, or when they get a little bit older, they want a car. Well, Mom, Dad, you got one. Just give me that one. But then we try to teach them by making them do chores or, you know, God forbid, take them to get a job and make them save money and buy something. I will never forget the first car that I bought. My money, not handed down from mom and dad, not money borrowed from grandma, not a hand-me-down from the family, like my car, my money. That car got washed, vacuumed, it got premium gas, it was well kept until I wrecked it. But my dad's car, the first car that I drove of his, I burnt the clutch up in. The second car, it was an automatic. He thought he'd gotten around that. Nope, I burned the clutch up in that. How you do that in an automatic, I don't really know. It wasn't the clutch, whatever that mechanical element is down in there. I just know it cost me $1,200 to get fixed. But when it was my car, totally different. I think that's part of the reason why God doesn't just rebuild walls for us. Because then now that's my wall. Not in an ownership thing, but it is in a responsibility thing. But the people did not give up. See, this guy, Tobiah and Sanballat and these little bandit guys, they rallied together and they were plotting to go and destroy the wall. And they said, here's what we'll do. We'll go and kill these Jews. And the Jews found out about it. And there's a little lesson in this, I believe. See, when we're doing the ministry of the trial, there's going to be some opposition. But the guys who get things done are the guys who find a way no matter what. So where there is a will, there is a way. Nehemiah chapter 4, 16 and 18 says this, from that day on, meaning after they found out about this little plot, half of the men did work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. And that's quite a construction crew, right? The officers posted themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore a sword at his side as he worked. Where there's a will, there's a way. Now, when they looked out, when those bandits looked out and they saw a bunch of guys, you know, carrying some bricks, maybe some mortar, they got a trowel or two, not that scary, right? We can take them. Little pushovers. But when God's people are equipped to do the ministry he's called us to do, the enemies of the Lord are afraid. Not once did they have to draw their swords. They, by the sheer force of just knowing that they were ready and prepared, prevented the problems. But there was another reason why. Not because of the flash of swords or spears or the sight of shields. Nehemiah 6:16 tells us that when our enemies heard about this, this is Nehemiah saying this, when all of the enemies heard about this, that they had finished the wall, that they got the work done, that they didn't give up, that they weren't afraid, that they weren't intimidated, when they heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence. Why? Because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. There is a reason that throughout time, no matter who it was that tried to eradicate the Jewish nation, it manifested itself in the form of different nations and tribes and people and faces and names. Some of them you probably know. Some of them just as recent as the 20th century. Some of them today. Read the manifesto of the Middle East. All the problems would be solved if one little group of people, about 7 million people who own the plot of land about the size of New Jersey, just didn't exist. We would have peace in the Middle East. But there's a problem. Why they lose their self-confidence? Because they realize that these men, even to this day, who stand on the wall and protect that nation, do not do so alone. But they do so through the power of God. Now here's what I want us to challenge ourselves in this. When we do things, whether it's Chill on the Hill or a men's outreach or a women's outreach or a Sunday school or it's vacation Bible school, whatever we do, it's building a building, expanding our parking lot, drawing attention to ourselves in this community. When people see that we are acting on behalf of God, I don't want them to be afraid, but I want them to recognize we are not doing this on our own. I don't want it to be said, oh, look at what those people are doing. May it be said instead, look what God is doing there. See the difference? May it never be said, oh, those people at New Hope, they've got it figured out. All they have to do is show up. They realize we don't. But may they say, God is using them. God is using that place. God is using that group, that family, to make a difference in this community. Now, we may never be asked to build a building or build a wall, literally ourselves. But there is one thing that we are building. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this. We are building a different kind of project. We are building ourselves. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22 says this. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners, Paul writes. You're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. You see, when Nehemiah went back, there were Jews there, yes, but they were Jews from other nations, Jews who had been dragged away and who had generations grown up in foreign lands, and they came back. And he rallied them together as citizens of God. Jesus Christ does the same with us. We come from different places. We come from different backgrounds, but he calls us together to be fellow citizens of God. People and members of his household. Built on the foundation of the apostle and prophets, and with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Remember that wall I was talking about earlier? You build it on anything but Jesus Christ. You have an illusion. In him, speaking of Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The town that Nehemiah was trying to surround with a wall, the temple he was trying to protect, was God's dwelling place. You see, that's why he heard. It wasn't just a matter of, oh, I'm in captivity in a foreign land, and my homeland is in ruins. Way back in chapter 1, why was his heart broken? Because the house of the Lord was unprotected. I just want to tell you today, I want you to look to your left. I want you to look to your right. And if you had a mirror, look at yourself. Because that's the house of the Lord. And maybe for some of you today, it's unprotected. Maybe for some of you today, it's in a little bit of ruin. It's been under attack. I'm here to tell you today, there's good news. That temple can be rebuilt. Here's the better news. God working in you is the way it's going to be done. How do we do it? We go to the King, our Heavenly Father, and get the resources. And when opposition comes, we stand. We prepare ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6, and that passage about spiritual warfare says, gird your loins with truth, a belt of truth. Latch it together. Get yourself ready with truth. Be in the Word. Because you have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You have a shield of faith, and you have a sword, which is the Word of God. How do we rebuild our lives if they're in ruins? One brick at a time, one day at a time, and with the help of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that you have mercy upon us and have grace, that though the enemy may attack, and though our lives may be in ruin and in rubble, God, you still can use that and rebuild our lives and rebuild your kingdom. God, may we be built upon the cornerstone of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and upon the foundation of your word. May we never veer from it. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would just use us today. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.